Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She is the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex. Since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. I'm sorry it took me so long to log on, but it blew me off like three times. So
I mean, hey there.
Blog Talk was not liking me tonight. How are you?
Oh, I'm lovely. Thank you. What did I tell you about giving me heart attacks before?
I know, but you know what? It was funny because I dialed in the number and then it just went somewhere else. It wasn't Blog Talk Radio, and I'm looking and it's got the right number dialed. I'm like, all righty then. Okay, so let me just redial it 4,000 other times, and finally I got
only
in.
4,000.
But it's funny because sometimes when the wires get crossed, they really do get crossed here, so... I'm just glad that I finally was able to get on because you think you were panicking.
Thank
you can't imagine what was going on in this end of the line. You know.
Well, I was just like, okay, I hope waiting. The first one is going to be an easy one because I need somebody to talk to. No.
Well, you didn't want a soliloquy? Those are always fun radio shows. When you know, when you just talk whatever comes off the top of your head and you don't know...
Oh boy!
Scary.
See, we would lose listeners. They'd be like, "Oh my God, she's off her rocker."
I know, isn't that funny? And I'm so glad that you're on the air. And it was a beautiful day today out there, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I wish I would have enjoyed more of it, but.
Well, I tried to get a little bit of time out there for a walk this afternoon because it was a beautiful, beautiful day. And you know, of course, it was starting to cool off here, so I was shutting windows, and I was like, okay, I'll shut the windows fast, and then it'll take me, like, you know, a second to log on. And I said, oh, I should have logged on first, then shut the windows.
Probably, you know, would have been nice, but hey.
All right. Well, it's always good to get the adrenaline pumping before the show.
Oh, yeah,
so
definitely, and you did that.
Right, and we do have to remind people if they want to speak to us, they have to press 1, and we have two callers that I promised that we would get to,
okay.
And the first one is the 6308, and
mm-hmm.
the second one is 2889. Okay, there is a third one, but we'll see what happens with that, but we do have some other callers, so we'll try to get to them as well. So,
okay.
If you want, we can pick up the first caller right away. So let's see if we can get as many callers in tonight as we possibly can.
Absolutely. Hello, 6308. You are on the air.
Hi. Good evening, everyone.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. I'm so glad you called in. I know you wanted to get kind of a fast reading, and you're
right.
So smart to know that this is why we have Thursday night emergencies. You know?
You've been so spot on. I have to tell you that after I had my hour with you, everything you said came to be, not necessarily how I understood or interpreted it, but after it all went down, I said, wow, that was amazing. You really hit it on the nail. So I'm hoping that will happen tonight. I went
to
my
high
school reunion. It was amazing.
Uh-huh.
There were people there from elementary school and junior high school and people I hadn't seen in so many years. And one man who was quite a nerd in high school, and I didn't even recognize him when he came over to say hello to me, was just you know, just so genuine and nice and fun. And he had mentioned to a friend of mine, because we were all talking, that he was widowed 5 years ago, and that you know, he had been dating, but I don't think there was anybody. He didn't go into detail, but he was very interested in speaking with me privately. And I had mentioned that I was going out to L.A. For the impending birth of my grandson, and he said, "Where in L.A.?" And it turns out that he lives about a mile away from my son, and I'm leaving tomorrow to go for about 5 or 6 weeks. So we started emailing each other. He gave me his card and said, you know, please contact me. And things were going great. The emails were hysterical, a lot of memorabilia, trivia, all those things. Everything was fine until last Thursday, when I had made some comment about when I travel, a lot of times I always find I relate better to New Yorkers. And he said he feels the same way. The next thing I know, he said, he had a date set up that somebody had introduced him this past Thursday. He was going on it, and that she was from Tennessee, and they were in the same field, but he thought that it was going to be rather boring. But he was going anyway because she had a cute picture on LinkedIn. And I thought, really? Well, there you go. And yeah. Then he just continued to write to me. So I don't really know how to read this, because I am not a person who does well with competition.
First of all, Susan, you are one of the smartest women I know. Okay, let me just put it, educated
myself,
smart.
But thank you.
Okay, but let's love yourself the way you would, you know, love your own daughter, one of your children, or
right.
whatever.
Right.
Now, this is absurd. You know, he's being really nice and great and everything to you until you're about ready to come see him. Then mm-hmm. all of a sudden he sends a little zinger that he's dating other people and it's this other woman and she's cute. Like, that's inappropriate, okay?
Right.
You know, if he's trying to scare you off, I think he did a good job, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if he was trying to sabotage what could have been a serious relationship, I think he has sabotaged it. And it's just not a good thing, okay? I mean, you must have felt like a slap in the face. Did you feel a slap in the face?
Oh, totally. More like a punch in the stomach.
and you're not being like prima donna, and you're not being, I mean, even if he is dating other people or whatever, the way that he said it, well, she's cute and this and that.
Right,
you know,
so I'll go.
You're not telling him he can't see anybody because you don't really have a relationship per se yet. But it's the kind of thing, like, it's not the kind of thing you can say, oh, look how honest he is, isn't he great? That doesn't,
no,
it's not ringing that way to me. It's ringing
right.
to me like, I want to scare her away. Okay?
Hmm.
And he's a smart man, and you said he was a little bit nerdy in high school, is that what you had said?
Right, right. But he's still
okay.
writing to me now. I acted as if business as usual. You know, he's
well,
ready
why
to take
did
me
you,
around and show
okay. Well, why did you act like business as usual? Like, that's the denial. That's the elephant in the room.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I would have addressed it. I would have said, excuse me, let's just get back here. Okay, I'm not sure why you would tell me this, really, unless you want to totally sabotage anything that we have here. That's the only
mm-hmm.
logical reason I could think of. Are we starting out that we're just friends? Is this what you're trying to tell me? We're just friends? Because that's what it
mm-hmm.
sounds like to me. This is something you would
right.
tell your friend.
Right, right,
this, and,
right.
You know, like, and maybe did you, you know, maybe it's because, you know, you've been in the dating world a while, and I think maybe you're trying to keep it light and breezy easy with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I would have said, hold it. Okay, I think we've just shifted the dynamics here. You know, that I'm really not interested in a man who's going to tell me that some cute girl from Tennessee – you know, he's going to be dating. This is like shocking to me, because did you get the impression that and I know you're in New York, but you were thinking that you could move to California, and he's
right
an hour away from your
I have
children.
Mentioned that to him. Since we started emailing, I think at the beginning he thought I was just visiting for a while, and I just said there's a possibility that I would be moving there because my whole family is starting to move out there. And I'm okay with living part-time in one place and part-time in the other. And the other thing we have in common is he has a child who lives in New York also. He has one in L.A. and one in the city. So So he goes
so
back and forth.
So both of you could be like back and forth, and this is great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all setting up beautifully and, you know, sounding great. But my feelings are he has commitment issues, that he was drawn to you when he didn't, you know, maybe didn't think it could be full-time possible. And now that he's realizing that, it's, you know, you really are very compatible, this could be the real deal, he just sabotaged it. And I would ask him, I said, what was your – I think we have to talk about these things. I would say, what's your intention in telling me about this? Are you telling me that you're not looking for a serious relationship at all and that you're going to continue casually dating and I'm not that important to you, whether it works or not, is what I would get. So,
right.
Like, did you tell this to scare me off? Did you tell me this because you're scared and maybe we were getting close and now you want to run? But I want to know, why in God's name would you have just dropped that bomb like it's casual? Why? And I wouldn't have ignored it because that's denial, okay? And what he's pretty much telling you is, I might sleep with somebody before I see you or whatever. And, you know, it might work, it may not work. But I don't think you can just go on like business as usual. It just altered something.
Right,
and
okay.
So, I mean, if I were you, I'd say, look, you know, I am looking for a serious relationship. I know we have the long distance thing, but I'm sort of like, if I'm going to be seeing someone, I kind of want to just see them for a while, and I know you're long distance or whatever, but maybe this isn't what I want. I'm just afraid you're going to get hurt from him because you could get really close to him in that time you're visiting your son. I think, your parents who passed away are pretty much letting you know we dropped this bomb in your lap to help you. So that better than if you went out there and you had this wonderful time and you felt really close and you make love to be really close. And then when you're back in New York, he tells you this. Okay. So kind of better you heard it before, don't you think?
Okay. Yeah, I guess so. I couldn't figure out, you know, he did write, oh, I'm sure the date's going to be boring, because the whole point was he does accounting and she does accounting.
Then why are
you
telling
people
me about it?
Right,
it's
going to
be
right,
boring
right.
And it's not important.
Right.
Why
right.
would you even bring it up except
right.
to scare me off?
Right, right.
And if that's and the only reason he might and you know, think about sometimes when, you know, it's somebody you wouldn't have looked at in high school, he's nerdy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes when it's people who are maybe not very attractive or good looking, sometimes
right.
people think, oh, they're going to be nice. Narcissism has nothing to do with what people look like or if they're nerdy, okay?
Right.
So it seemed like a very manipulative thing to do. He's manipulating something, and what your job is to call him on it. So what is the subtext of this bomb you dropped? Is it to
right.
scare
and
me?
Might
is it to
say,
let you?
I just had an intention of being a friend to you.
And
then
that's what, wouldn't you want to hear that? Okay,
yes,
all right.
I would. Yeah.
So then, you know, let me either put him in the friend category, or maybe I don't want to put you in a friend category. I got enough friends. Okay, I don't really
right.
need more friends. I got more friends than I could see, is what I would say. You know, I really don't need a friend, and I really don't need, you know, a booty call. Okay,
right.
So, in the beginning, it seems like he was giving you the impression it was one thing, and now he gave you an impression it's another thing. So that's the prince that becomes the beast already. I mean, why would
I don't
you
know
say
if I interpreted that way. Remember, he just gave me my card and said, when you're in California, you know, just call me, because he said, I'll be happy to show you around.
Yeah, but
and
you
things
were,
like that.
But you were corresponding a lot back and forth?
Yeah, just emails.
Well, let me ask something. I'm
going to
jump in here real quick.
Nicole, you jump in here.
I'm going to jump in
Go
here
ahead.
Real quick. Okay, so when you were talking to him, did you
it's
ever
only email,
clearly
never phone calls.
Email.
Okay, but did
yeah,
you
email.
Ever clearly say in the exact words, did you ever ask whether like what the state of your relationship was? Did you ever say, you know what,
no,
I would
never,
you know,
never.
Okay,
never. It's just
so,
been
so
like 10 days of
this,
writing back and forth funny things and
so this could very simply just be a mistake of you accidentally winding up in the friend zone.
Right.
Right. Right.
You know, I mean, because
zone,
here's the thing, you can't always, and this is why I'm kind of flipping the table a little bit here, because
okay.
a lot of people will generally blame the guy. Oh, you know what? Well, we were talking and we were doing this under the assumption that he knew it was something else to you. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like the, you know, the rug gets pulled out from underneath you and now he's dating somebody else or now he's seeing somebody else. He's talking to somebody else. It's not always the
right.
guy's fault. Women
no,
in
no,
today's
I understand
day
that. I never,
have an obligation to make the intention known.
Right, right. So you
right.
say,
and
no,
so
I
think
made
that
my
for
intention.
You, a way to kind of back out of this is, you know, because mm-hmm. you didn't address it right away, but you know what,
right.
maybe now if you do go forward with it and you do continue to speak to him, start speaking in more of a context that puts you as the center person, you know, in his life versus just somebody who wants to be friends. You know, start putting it out there because he'll give you an answer if you start doing that.
You're
right.
right.
Exactly.
I haven't been direct enough. And I would, with other people that I know, I would be very direct. But the truth is, I spoke to him for a few minutes at the reunion, and all our other contact has just been emails back and forth. Just fun,
yeah, and again,
it
gets so lost.
Right.
Tone gets so
right.
lost when you write. Okay, when mm-hmm. you write a text message or you write an email, you have time to sit there. You can be a friggin' poet. You can come
right.
up with anything to say. You know
it's
what
true.
I'm saying? So you know what?
Right.
You know, maybe you need to start putting yourself, I mean, not necessarily in an aggressive way, like, oh, you know, you're going out on a date with somebody and, you know, I want you to date me, but just kind of like feel him out. Hey, listen, what would happen if I come and see you? Hey, you know what? Can I give you a call sometime? You know, when you hear somebody's voice and you actually have a conversation, it's completely different than when you're engaging in this letter-writing romance. You know,
right.
I mean,
well,
and,
I'm actually
you know,
going to see him next week because I'm going to be there.
Perfect.
I'm going to L.A. tomorrow. So I didn't know that's the thing. Like, I didn't know what kind of messages to give him. I, you know, you go on a date. You could be flirty or you could just be friendly. You know, you just don't know.
It also it depends
yeah.
on what you want. You know, if
mm-hmm.
you want something more than just flirty and you want to give, you know, a relationship a shot with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? There's absolutely nothing wrong with you saying that. If you want to kind of try each other on and see how you fit and then, you know, and maybe it'll go someplace and maybe it won't, there's nothing wrong with saying that, you know?
Okay.
There's absolutely not. Like women have got this notion that, like, if they put that out there, that it's bad and that it's wrong. It's not. Not by today's standards, because that's the best way to protect yourself. You know, you got to put it out there that, hey, listen, you know what? I don't know where you're at in your life. This is where I'm at in my life. You know what? We have a little bit of a history here. We're enjoying each other's company. Why don't we try to see where this goes? If you're down, I'm down. You know,
okay, I just
exactly.
automatically
he might say, hey.
Oh, my God, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too this. You know, I start doubting
myself.
Yeah, but
there's
myself,
another problem.
Think, you know,
but there's another
yeah.
problem.
Oh, but
is that
Susan's
you
too beautiful
to
if you ever see her. Excuse me. Susan is too beautiful,
but this is,
okay?
Exactly, but you know what? You can't, you cannot, you're not a mind reader. You
right.
cannot put how you see you into somebody else's head. You cannot always think the worst of yourself and just automatically assume that the other person is going to think it
right.
as well. Because they actually did a study where they had somebody describe themselves to a police sketch artist, and then they had in a separate sitting that person's friend or that person's loved one describe that person to a sketch artist. And the person describing themselves looked so much different than the person that others described. We have this innate thing to think poorly about ourselves. We see our flaws. And you know what? We harp on those things to the point of that's all that we see. Like Cindy said, you know, because now here Cindy is describing you and she says that you're a beautiful woman. So you know what? It just goes to show you what other people see is not what you see. So don't make any assumptions about how he's going to think or how he's going to feel, because you know what? You don't know those things. And you know what? If he feels that way, so be it. He's not the one for you, and you'll find somebody
right.
that is the one for you. And if not, then you've just risked absolutely nothing but happiness by putting yourself out there and taking a chance.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you both.
Right.
That was great.
And we're glad that's what we're here for, because sometimes it's like, you know, sometimes you don't know, like, am I being too touchy? Am I responding to this wrong? Am I being too hypersensitive? Am
right.
I being a bitch? What is it? It's like, no. And you know what? There's an expression, you know, people do reveal themselves to us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And believe it. He's, you know,
right.
And if he's that insensitive, by the way, like he knows you're coming in and he's going to be showing you around, wouldn't he want to put his best foot forward? Wouldn't he want to do not do anything that could maybe, like maybe there is something here. So why would I want to do anything that could blow what could potentially be here?
Right.
You know, and
right.
And why would I want to say anything insensitive or that could be misinterpreted? He's a very bright man, so I can't think that he did this without knowing what he did, is what I'm trying
mm-hmm.
to tell you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't say, well, he's really stupid. You know, he's a stupid guy.
No,
okay, this is
not.
A smart man and a smart businessman, and people are usually aware of the subtext of what they're doing and sending. So, you know, just be aware of that and do us a favor and maybe call in and let us know.
I will.
How it is, but I think it's going to make you go a little bit more guard up or a little bit more,
you
know.
No, I'm going to be more open. Actually, it's less guarded. It's going to be more direct, quite honestly.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'll guard my heart, but I
right.
believe me, I'm not falling in love in 5 minutes. But I will. I think the direct approach is the best. I appreciate that. I think that's
And we've
great.
Been trying to say that in the radio show for like weeks now. I keep telling people, don't ask psychics what you should ask the person. Don't waste $100 on me when you could just ask the source that's right in front
of
you.
That's brilliant.
Like,
it's true.
And I'm not, and I just think too many people come to me to ask questions of me that you're not supposed to be asking me. You know, and so if we could just learn to just ask people, get it out, get the cards on the table, even if it's what you don't want to hear. See, I think a lot of times people want an illusion of something. They don't really want to hear what the person has to say. That's denial.
Mm-hmm.
We all practice a lot of denial and, you know, find out what it is, like sooner than later. And it's direct. You'll find out. You'll find out. Maybe he doesn't want to buy what you're trying to sell. You know, you want
right.
a committed relationship. It's not that there's anything wrong with him. He doesn't have to buy what you want to sell. But just know what he wants or doesn't want. And again, and don't be fooled by a nerdy man thinking he's not capable of being shrewd and whatever. Because I'll tell you, since dating apps and Match.com, boy, men have become really, really good at playing games. Because
mm-hmm.
there's a built-in setup in this. So, you know, let us know. And
I will.
You know,
I'll keep you posted.
And, you know, our mutual friend, by the way, never
yes.
called again to me,
oh.
like, whatever. So don't you find that interesting?
I
so
do.
After,
I do.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so
see, he just wanted to scuttlebutt on me. Well,
uh-huh. And,
whatever.
Well, call in and let us know what happens. And, don't sell yourself short because you know, you're
okay.
one of the most beautiful women inside and out, and she
well,
dresses so beautiful, and she's got this fashion sense. But she's like me.
Oh.
Fashion sense without a big, you know, we don't spend a lot of money on this stuff. We just
right.
put it together, you know, really well. And
that could be another segment on your show.
Right, right. And how to look great. And, you know, like I'll say, oh, I
date.
Love your necklace. She's like this. I guess it'd be like, $9.95. I got it like in California 20 years ago. I mean, I just laugh. Yeah, but it looks like something that she could have bought for like, I don't know, $500 at, you know, the Miracle Mile. So I have to laugh.
That
well,
would be
keep
me.
Us.
Just
but
remember something.
Both.
Just remember something when you
yes.
go out there. Okay?
Yes.
You know what fear is?
Yes.
No. Do you really know what
Wait,
fear
say that
is?
Again?
What fear stands
fear?
For? Yeah, fear.
Fear.
F-E-A-R.
Fear.
Do you know what that is? It
go
means
ahead. What does
false?
It stand for?
It means false. Wait a minute. Oh God, now I'm losing it. False evidence appearing real. That's
right,
what
exactly.
fear stands for. False evidence appearing real. And what that basically means when you kind of adopt that approach is that anything that you're fearing is made worse inside of your brain. So what you're actually
exactly.
fearing, you're making worse than what could actually come, you know, come at you. All right, so when you go there and when you see him and you be upfront with him, lose that because all of the stuff that you're imagining may happen, any kind of rejection or any kind of anything that you're imagining in your head is worse than your head, honey. Okay,
you're
our minds do that to us. It makes it worse. So just remember that and you break through
that
shit.
You.
And you know what? If this is not the right one, then somebody else will be.
Okay.
Exactly. And also, I just wanted to say one additional thing.
Yes.
Susan, you're like with all women. We don't think it's the guy, or like if we're lesbians, the other girl. We think it's us. Like we're too fat,
right.
We're too thin, we're too short, we're
right.
too smart, we're too stupid. Women go right back to that all the time. Like it's what this culture has made us think that, and I don't care how old you get, it's still in women. And it's something we really have to work against that, you know, it has sabotaged us in our life in every way. I mean, men don't feel that way. Men, you know, not even good looking. They all think they're good looking. I mean,
I know. I always think we look in different mirrors than they do. We look in the
right.
mirror and
I mean,
find all our flaws, and they think they look great.
They think they look great. I mean, so
with
it's just
pot bellies and all.
And they just think they look fabulous. And a woman,
right.
you know, is always thinking, oh, my God, is this or that? Like, we look at ourselves, you know, under a microscope, okay? And I don't even know if they even look at themselves, men. They just say they look good. So it's – don't – when you start getting to is it something that I said or something about me? No.
Mm-hmm.
It's about him, okay? That says something about him. It doesn't say anything about you. It says a lot about him, okay? So
– right.
Well, good
we'll
luck.
We'll see how it goes, and I will keep you both posted. Thank you. Now I have
you're welcome.
Two psychics.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Two psychics. Don't you just love that, Nicole?
Absolutely. That's great.
Two dating experts, two relationships. You get two for the price of one with us here. You know, and I'm glad you stepped in with that because I wasn't probably making myself as clear as I wanted to.
No,
this.
You were dancing a little bit. You danced a little, but it's okay. I got you to stop dancing.
Right. I mean, it just really, I just don't understand that. If you're trying to put your best foot forward with somebody, don't put your worst foot forward, you know, because it's kind of absurd in the long run.
Yeah. And you know what? And I also know too, and you know, and again, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, that you're absolutely right. You know, when you are sitting there talking with them, you want to push somebody away, yeah, you'll make up that, oh, I'm going out here, I'm going out there. But sometimes, and, you know, and I say this, you know, probably about, I'm going to say 40% of the time when somebody does something like that, yeah, they're trying to push you away. But you know what? The other 40% of that time, they're sitting there and they're trying to take your temperature. So if they are interested in you, they may say, you know what, I wonder how this person is going to react if I say this. And they try to push a button to see if they can, you know, and that's the other hat, you know, that's the other 40% of that equation. And then 20% of that, again, only in my experience, 20% of that is people that genuinely, they just take people at face value and they figured, well, if they're interested, they'll tell me. And if they're not interested, then we're just cool. And they just go out very, very kind of light and flighty and that's it. So I don't want to say that this guy is definitely not in the first 40%. Or the second 40%, but based on what she was saying about her interactions with him, all of those things to me, Cindy, sounded like friend things. They didn't sound like boyfriend things. They didn't sound like get to know each other things.
Yeah, but what is
it
with men
like
now, by the way? With men, the way it is, they know damn well the woman feeling something else. Okay, they know damn well, and if
no,
you
they
know,
don't.
And, yes, they do, and if they're feeling
they're
that vibe.
Psychic. No, they don't.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think a man knows. I think a man knows when you're a little bit interested in him.
Not
right,
not during an email, not during a text message. Maybe if he hears your voice. Maybe if you actually have a conversation.
That's
but
true.
Not
and that's
reading
again,
like this is not back in the day where you know people are writing romance letters back to each other. Their letters are and their messages probably consisted of, hey, how was work today? This happened to me and blah 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 blah. Standard crap that you would talk about. There's no, you are my son, you are my stars. There's none of that anymore. Come on now.
Well, I kind of had this with a man who was a commitment phobic, and, you know, he would just email, wouldn't talk, and I said, I'll never do that again. Because they're guarding, they don't want to hear your voice, because when they hear your voice, they feel something. They don't want to have to answer questions. They want to be in control of everything because you're not there challenging them with things. So, you know, pretty much if you're feeling something about somebody and you want it to be more than just friendship or whatever, maybe you should get on the phone and talk or meet and talk.
Yeah. Well,
like,
and that's,
let's go back
that's
to the old-fashioned.
You and I say this all the time too, Cindy. The art of conversation should not be dead.
it needs to be revived. Just because it's easier to write and it's easier to text. Oh, look, you're texting. Oh, I don't want to answer that. Wait 4 hours. Wait until tomorrow. Text, hey, good morning. With no, you know, and people think that this is okay and acceptable. It is not okay. You need to speak to people. If you're going to be in a relationship or you want a relationship, you need to hear the inflection in their voice. You need to hear, you know, how they behave. You know, you need to see what makes them nervous and what makes them happy and what makes them smile and what makes them laugh. These are all nuances that you're going to grow to love and appreciate and respect about another person. And if you don't get that in the early stages, when you're figuring out the grounds that you have, when you're figuring out your rules and when you're figuring out your foundation, if you don't talk to the person, how are you going to know if they're happy or sad or upset? You think that facial expressions, you think they're just going to come out and just tell you? Of course not. You need to know these things. You need to pick up on these things, you know, because you're never, ever going to get somebody to pick up on what you're putting out and pick up what you're putting down if you don't take the time to get to know those things.
Well, and I will tell you this. You know, people pay to talk to me, okay? I couldn't get that man to talk to me, okay? And he spoke like five languages.
Seriously?
Okay? He can find one word to say to me on the phone or in person, okay? So that's what it's kind of funny, the irony of life sometimes, you know? So if someone doesn't really want to talk to you, I don't understand why you can only email me. Like, if you're emailing me at night, why can't you pick up the phone and talk to me for 10 minutes? Or if we're emailing back and forth for 20 minutes, why couldn't we have a phone conversation for 20 minutes?
You could have probably done everything that you did in that 20-minute email to or that 20-minute text session in a 5-minute phone call.
Exactly. So let's like make this the year of let's go back to phone calls. And you have FaceTime. You can even be looking at each other.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you FaceTime with me? If you could, like, it makes no sense. None of this makes any sense to me, by the way.
Nope.
And you know, so we'll just keep exploring that topic. Now, we do have Colleen, you said, and I love Colleen, by
yes.
the way. It's my lucky day. I have Susan, I have Colleen today. Okay. So tell us a little bit
and
about Colleen
now,
what's going
now,
on with her.
Now, of course, I'm choking.
That's
Colleen,
okay. Don't choke to death.
Long Island. I'm trying not to. she's calling us from Long Island. And she's having a little bit of boyfriend insecurity, Cindy, and she needs your guidance.
Okay, good. I'm glad that she...
Hello, Colleen. You're on the air.
She knows that that's what we're here for.
Hi.
Hi, my beautiful Colleen. I'm so glad to hear from you. I was thinking about you 2 days ago, so I must have psychically gotten that you need me. And then when you emailed me, I'm like, okay, so... Because like yesterday I said, you know, usually when I think about something, it's somebody, it's like the next day, and I said, okay, maybe I'm off with my radar, but now I know that I wasn't. So how long have you been with your guy?
9 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you've had a little bit of a rough 9 months to let our listeners know. You had a head injury and all of that. And and how is your head injury?
It's getting there. You know, I'm walking and like going on walks, and I'm able to keep my heart rate up more and think more clearly. So definitely
okay,
a
good.
Lot of
so,
progress.
All right, so okay.
Yeah.
Now, you guys had a very strong soulmate connection, but you know the first 6 months of a relationship, everything is good because you know the soulmate love is so strong. The first 6 months, it's the 6 months onto the 9 month mark that's the real challenge. Okay, and 9 months onto a year, because now some unhealed issues begin to surface in people. It could be surfacing in you. It could be surfacing in him. Do you sense he's getting scared?
I mean, he's very unbalanced in general right now. He's very overwhelmed with just like, you know, like he was supposed to go to Romania for a stage combat and he may owe back all of the money because he wasn't able to go, and he's trying to get his grounding because he's going for acting too. So it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot
okay,
of
here
work.
We are making excuses for people and their
oh,
abuse.
Oh, no,
okay?
I'm just saying, like, what's going on with him.
Okay, but if he, okay, so he, again, life is filled with, like, stuff that's going to overwhelm us. And believe me, you're young. It doesn't get easier as you get older, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have more bills to pay, children to feed, mouths to feed, you know, working at jobs sometimes you don't like. Stress gets more with life. You're young yet. So is he pulling away from you? Is that what you're feeling?
No, not at all. It's just, like, you know, everything is very good, and we're very honest with each other, and, you know, very supportive, and when we need to breathe, we step back and, like, you know, go through our stuff, whatever it is, we just go through it. But it's more so, like, with the honesty, like, I'm more open to being attracted to other people. I used to shut that down in relationships, like, I'm not allowed to be attracted to anyone else. And I've gotten a lot better about that.
So is it, like, you who's insecure, not him?
Yeah, it's me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you getting,
like,
scared now at the 9-month mark because this is serious and committed? Are you sabotaging it?
Well, it's like when I see, like, him attracted to other people, or, like, people attracted to him, even, like, very subtle. He doesn't, like, flirt with people. But when I feel the connection, like, I feel very uncomfortable.
Okay. Now, do you feel jealous? Is that what's going on?
Yeah. I feel, like, uninteresting.
Okay, now.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're, it's almost like Susan before you. Notice how women always think it's like they're not interesting, or they're not pretty enough, or they're not good enough. And, you know, unfortunately, you're young. You're under the age of 30, and your generation of women doesn't have much sisterhood, so they really don't care if a guy's married or has a girlfriend. They don't really care. So some of your insecurities are not, like, totally unfounded, okay, because, you know, that could make anybody nervous. Also, jealousy is a pretty normal emotion. If you've read Grant Me a Higher Love, there's a whole step on jealousy in that book. Overcoming jealousy is important. But the first year of being with someone, jealousy is kind of normal because you don't have that much history behind you. So you do kind of feel a little bit more insecure the first year. And you guys are soulmates. I mean, I got the soulmate card twice. Okay, do you feel a heart connection with him? Soul, mind, and body. Okay, now, soulmates are not interchangeable with another person on the planet, and God doesn't bring two soulmates at the same time, so he's not going to be put in alignment with another soulmate. But, you know, go down the ladder of love to narcissistic rung, where, like, the whole Tinderellas, every night you get another one and throw her away. You know, a Tinderella or a very narcissistic rung on the ladder of love isn't really something that you have to worry about. It doesn't have the same connection that a soulmate has. And remember that. So he can, you know, some cute girl could flirt with him or something like that, but it's not a threat to you. It might just make him feel good for a minute or whatever. I mean, he seems like a pretty loyal guy here. I'm not getting any cards that he's not loyal or anything like that, because I've shuffled him like 8 times. He's loyal. Women tend to have this thing, like, say if a man cheats on a woman, the woman always asks, is she prettier, younger, thinner than me? They ask stupid questions. A man asks, if you cheat, is he more powerful than me? Does he make more money? Men care about different things, but, you know, you haven't been feeling like your old self, by the way, because you haven't been able to do all the things you normally do. So I think you're not feeling like, you know, the dynamic Colleen, who's a dancer and an actress and a student and beautiful and all. I think you're just kind of feeling kind of mundane because you're not able to do the things that you did. So maybe that's what's coming up. Like, but you're getting better. You'll be back with and all of that. I'm glad he's not going to the Romanian thing, though, because I'm not so sure he would have loved it. And he will get most of his money back. I don't think that people are going to give it back easily, by the way. Has he thought about taking them to small claims court? Because he might have to do that. But
not yet, because, like, it's still in the application process.
Okay, but, you know, it might. It looks like he'll get it, but they're going to probably take some money out of it for, like, a cancellation fee or whatever. But don't let that worry him. I'm not really seeing anything here that's a red flag that you have to worry about. I just think you're feeling the insecurities of when you're not being your dynamic self? And when are you going back to school? Are you going to be able to go back to acting soon or anything because you're feeling better?
Yeah. You know, I'm making up work from last semester still. And I'm slowly, you know, I'm not pushing myself anymore and just taking it day by day. So we'll see what happens, but it's looking like I'm going to be able to start getting more into it, you know, soon.
And then you'll feel better because it's almost like you almost have too much time on your hand to think about this.
Yeah.
And be more insecure. But I see he loves you very much and, you know, I don't think he's trying to make you feel insecure in any way. And, you know, I think more of it's coming from you right now than from anything in him.
Yeah.
You know, because you're not feeling like you're shining best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I just don't, like, I don't know how to deal with it, you know.
and of course, I just love it with women, how insecure we are as a species, okay?
Yeah.
And I think this is something that we have to kind of think about. It's something that this culture makes every woman by the time she's like 15, I don't care how beautiful she is, smart, whatever, she doesn't feel very secure about herself. And what Nicole was saying about how we would describe ourselves to somebody isn't really how they might perceive us. And, you know, I realized with myself, I had such a distorted vision of myself most of my life growing up. I had three older brothers that probably told me I was ugly every day of my life. I really had no idea that I wasn't ugly, okay? I mean, really. When I had to take an acting class at the University of Connecticut, they said, what kind of character could you portray? Well, she'd have to be kind of ugly and flat-chested and this and that. And my professor went, Cindy, are we talking about you here? Because, A, you're not flat-chested, and, B, you're certainly not ugly. So who are you writing about? And I'm like, me. And he was like, mm-mm. But it was really, and I wasn't, like, faking it. It was really how I perceived myself.
Yeah.
I would play the ugly duckling in a part. Like, okay, I would be, like, Drizella and Anastasia in the Cinderella story is what I put. And meanwhile, later on, when I was a children's entertainer, and one of my agents said, you know, we want you to portray Cinderella at the party. I said, oh, I'm not pretty enough. I can't be Cinderella. What, are you kidding me? And he was like this nice, really nice gay man. He goes, oh, no, you're beautiful. You could be Cinderella. Well, I must have done 2,000 Cinderella performances, and every time I did a show, I was waiting for somebody to say, you're not pretty. You're not. I mean, I waited for that. So our insecurities are like built so into us that we really don't know who we are. And you know, we wonder, like later on when you grow up and you're old like me, you're going to look at a picture of you at your age and you're going to say, why didn't I think I was pretty or smart? Or you're going to look at it and go, what was I thinking? So be a little more knowing that this is part of growing up in America, and maybe we got to work on that and work on women's self-esteem and self-worth, because it's really very deep in women, very deep.
Yeah.
So, you know, but he loves you. If you're asking me, does he love you? He loves you like crazy.
Yeah, okay. No, it was more so about me. Like, I just don't know how to deal with it because there's not much I can do. Like, I can't just be like, all right, I'm going to go dance. I'm going to go do this. You know, I have to, like, be very, I don't have to be very careful so much anymore. I'm going back into things, but it's still, you know.
Okay, so, and then because, you know, you're used to being a belly dancer, Middle Eastern dancer like I was, and, you know, some of that kind of defines you and makes you feel beautiful about yourself and good about yourself because the costumes, the music, the exoticness of it is great. And, you know, you must miss that. So do you just listen to the music, even if you're not dancing to it? Do you just surround yourself with that goddess energy, please?
Yeah.
Play your zills. Do you have your finger cymbals? Play your finger cymbals, you know.
I just got them out of the car.
you did today? Well, I'm telling you, play your finger cymbals, okay? Because that'll make you feel really good about yourself, you know, and get back into that goddess energy. And, you know, when I used to teach belly dancing, I made every woman feel like they were the most beautiful woman. I taught them every trick in the book to make them look the best. and make them feel great about themselves, and I knew how to help them with costumes that would bring out the most beautiful part of their bodies and flatter them. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing, and the goddess energy is so incredible. So I think you have to get a little bit back into your goddess energy, please.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Okay. And keep me a little bit posted because you haven't been emailing me lately. And, you know, I love when my clients email me, let me know how they're doing, because it keeps me a little bit knowing if you're doing good or you need whatever. So,
yeah, definitely. I was kind of losing my mind a little bit there. But
well, that's
I'm...
what we're here for, so you don't lose your mind. That's my job. My job is to get everybody down. Let's take it down a notch. Our OCD worries, what if this, what if that, what if this, are up at a 10, and there's no bombs going off or anything awful in your life. So let's take it down a couple of notches. That's what you need to do. Take it down a couple of notches, because sometimes when we're so insecure, we can end up sabotaging a relationship. You know, we can end up not doing it on purpose, but just because we're so insecure, we drive the person crazy. And, they can't stand us. You know what I mean? So and Peter's the best guy. And these cards, this guy showed up as loyal, trustworthy, loving, soulmate. So, I mean, if you want to see what I see here, I don't see any trouble in paradise except what maybe you're doing in your own mind a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I used to always tell myself I'm crazy in here in my head. It's really not out there. It's crazy in my head today. So sometimes we need to realize when we're crazy in our head and it's really not out there. So, and I will tell you this, women, you really do feel better as you get older if you don't let the culture make you feel that you're older and you're obsolete and you can't be anything when you're older. You really feel more secure as you get older if you don't allow this culture to sabotage you, okay, about aging.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I already feel like I'm more secure.
Right. It just makes you just feel better.
Over a few years.
Because you start realizing it's not about me, it's about them. And I learned that from being a children's entertainer and a belly dancer, where I would be 4 feet away from people, do 8 shows in a day, and here in one day, she's too old, she's too young, she's too fat, she's too thin, she's too smart, she's too stupid, her boobs are too big, they're too small. How could I be all those in one day? And I would realize it's not about me. If they have weight issues, they're going to have it about me. If they have aging issues, they're going to reflect on me. After a while, I didn't care because I was already older still doing this. But the young girls who were in their 20s would quit after like a month of doing the job. Like, I can't sit and listen to what people have to say about me. They would quit. And there were beautiful girls who would just say, no, I can't do this. I can't have people criticize me like that so much. And I'd be like, it's not about you. But they couldn't get over it. Because, you know, when you're an entertainer, people think they could say whatever they want about you. You're like kind of, you know, you're not human, I guess, is what people think. So so some of the insecurities you will outgrow, I promise you.
Okay.
So thank you for calling in. Keep me posted. Love, Peter, and get better. Get better.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Goodbye.
Now, Nicole, didn't you just love Colleen's energy? She's like a sweet little beautiful fairy princess, if you ever saw one.
She's sweet.
She's like beautiful inside and out, every square inch of her. And I just love her so much. And, you know, I love my clients. You figured that out, right? I love them.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I love them a little bit. Your clients and stuff, you know.
I'm a little bit loving them like crazy. I love all of them. And I love Gene Steele, who always listens to our show. And I love Andrew, who listens later on. He doesn't always listen directly on, but he does send me the analysis of our show and everything he learns from it, which I just love, you know, all the lessons he learns. So that's important.
Oh, he's great.
So isn't he great? Andrew is great. Andrew is great.
He's hysterical.
He is
My
great.
My favorite is when Andrew corrects you on what you say.
I know, because Andrew knows Grant Me a Higher Love better than I know it.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not kidding.
You said that. That's great, Andrew. You did, Cindy.
He knows it better than I do, okay? I mean,
it's
funny. When you write something, by the way, or when I write something, after it's done, I never want to read it again. I never want to look at it. So it's like, never again. So sometimes the universe makes me pick up my books and read them when they say, you've forgotten something. Open your book to page 347 or whatever. And they go, you know this stuff. Don't forget it. So
remember when
and I'll
that?
Go, oh.
Know it again.
Read it again, Cindy. So we do have Anna, and she's another one of my favorite clients. So this is like my favorite client night. I'm like
seriously?
So happy. I adore Anna. She's beautiful, and she's smart, and she's just a little insecure right now. So did you notice we're getting the insecure women tonight?
Yeah. The fuck?
We got the theme for tonight. Uh-huh.
Yep. We always
women,
theme always prevails. It always prevails no matter what we do.
Women
so,
and insecurity.
Okay. Yep. So we are going to go out to Anna. Anna is also calling us from lovely, lovely New York, Cindy. And she's going back to her teaching job in September. But she's a little bit scared because she just learned that her class is an ICP class. Now, what that means is that she's going to be dealing with some special ed students. So there's going to be a special ed teacher in there as well as her. She's regular education. So she's a little bit concerned as far as whether or not she's up for this challenge, whether or not she's going to be completely, completely strung out because of it, and, you know, just how demanding being in this situation is going to be for her. So it is a cause for concern for Anna. So hopefully the cards will tell Anna something that will put her mind at ease. And just so that you know, while you're on the phone with Anna, since we do have about 8 minutes left, I will be looking up and posting to, I guess, your wall, Cindy, that sketch artist video that I saw that I referenced tonight for any of our listeners that want to go see if I really am talking the truth when I say that we see ourselves worse than other people describe us. So I will be locating that before the show is out in 8 minutes.
The magic mirror people that see themselves much better than they are, you know?
That's even better. So I think Dove did it. I'm not 100%, but I'm going to find it. I'm going to put that on your wall for our listeners. But in the meantime, 8 minutes left. Let's see if we can help Anna. Hello, Anna. You're on the air.
Hi, Cindy. How you doing?
Hi, Anna. It's so funny. Pulling cards, like while Nicole was talking, and my phone deck is a little bit rigged. You know, it's supposed to only have one of each card in a tarot deck, but my phone, when it has like two or three doubles on things, just because, you know, I want to make sure, because I'm pulling the cards, that I get it right. And the first two cards I picked are the two women that are partners. Sometimes I see it as the lesbian card. Sometimes I see it as a close mother-daughter. Sometimes I see it as a partnership of two women. And I got that twice across from each other, the first two cards. So I think you're going to get along very well with this woman. So,
oh, okay.
I mean,
that's
I'm
great.
Amazed by that, okay? It was like, hmm. And it looks like you're going to really like working with these children. I think you're going to like working with their parents, and that you're going to find yourself really happy. And if you remember, you were insecure, and I've known you for a few years now, about when I'm ready to go back to work, would I get a job? And what did I keep telling you? You're going to
get
a job.
Yeah.
And nobody gets teaching jobs very easily right now. You are aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I know.
And you got it right away. And what it is this job is very important to you. It looks like you're going to do really, really well. It's a little bit scary to go back in the...
Is the teacher older than me, or she's around the same age?
It looks like this card a little hard to tell? It's something that she might... I think it looks to me like she's pretty close in age, too. She could be a little bit older one, or, you know, maybe a little bit, but I don't think the age is a factor here. Okay, I mean, you're going to get along with her, and and I think
has she been teaching a while?
And it looks like you really do need her because you weren't really trained in special ed. Is that true?
Yeah, but it's also I've been out for like 11 years, so that's just a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, okay, and any woman that's been home raising kids for 11 years, you get back in the work world.
Yeah.
It's a little scary.
Overwhelming. Yeah.
And I think it's also overwhelming because you still have to take care of all the stuff you do now during the day and take care of the kids and do everything and go to work. It's scary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could see, but, you know, you have a little bit of OCD, as does Colleen, who was listening earlier. And the OCD is, that smart people have, is the what if. Like, what if this mm-hmm. happens? What if I can't do it? What if I don't like the kids? What if I don't like my job? What mm-hmm. if, and you're hearing the what if words a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to
yeah.
have to kind of ban the what if from your mind. And it's never mm-hmm. what if I love it. It's always like, what if I don't like it? So I think you need to start practicing.
But you see me being happy doing it. Like,
guys, I see you being happy. I see you enjoying it, being happy.
Not overwhelmed?
And I think you're going to feel a little bit overwhelmed in the beginning. But uh-huh. if I were you, I would get, you moved. Didn't you just move too?
Yeah, I just moved.
Okay, so you just had to move, which is stressful. Now you got a new job. I mean, let's talk about stress.
Right.
Did you get your house nice and organized so that'll make it easier when you go back to work?
A little bit, but we're going to be starting construction soon, so that's going to be more stressful.
Another nightmare.
It's just
another
stressful,
nightmare.
Not the stress.
Another
right
nightmare.
Now. Right.
Okay, so if I were you, I would try to take it one day at a time, and
mm-hmm.
You know, get your clothes that you want to be wearing, you know, for work, and think about how you're going to do all this, and start realizing everything's not going to be done perfectly anymore when you're a working mother. That's the sad part
right,
about
right.
it. If you're used to everything being organized and great, you do the best you can, but it looks like you're going to love it. It's a big change for your kids, too, to have you working.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But at least your schedule corresponds more with theirs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's really, really good. And you really do you want some major changes in your life, and they can't happen without you going back to work.
Right,
and,
right.
And that's something that, you know, you've been sort of praying for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope your husband's a little on board with knowing he's going to have to help a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
And also,
he's a little helpful anyway. So
I know. And if you find you need to pay people to do certain things, you know, like clean once in a while or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're working now. Don't kill yourself. You know, you don't have to be a martyr.
Right, right.
And, you know, figure out the meals and how you're going to do dinner and just simplify.
Mm-hmm.
Just simplify
right, right.
a little bit life. But I'm really seeing out of eight cards, you got eight very positive cards. So I really think this is a very good change here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't see really anything bad
Do you see the other teacher being patient with me, like understanding that I was out for so long?
I think she's just so happy to have another teacher and not a TA that doesn't know what they're doing, or a real teacher in the classroom. I think she's really going to be happy with that. And you'll see she's got her little system that you'll be able to follow pretty easily. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like riding a bike, certain jobs. You'll go back to knowing what you're doing, by the way.
Right, right.
You really will go back to going, you know, knowing what you're doing. So, you know, and just take it one day at a time. She knows you've been out for a while, but you're very smart, by the way. You underestimate your intelligence. You're really, 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 really smart. And mostly, you know, just be yourself, smile a lot, you know, do your job, and don't look for trouble almost. Just, you know, make the best of situations. And don't bring your insecurities, because basically what I'm seeing from the three readings today is our insecurities can sabotage things. If
mm-hmm.
we're insecure, it almost is like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, what I learned, like when I started the children's birthday party industry, there was nobody to train me how to do it. I really didn't know what I was doing. I flew by the seat of my pants, and I faked it, okay? Sometimes we just have to fake it till we make it, okay? Like,
right, right.
You know what I mean? I didn't know what I was doing, okay? And, you know, and I'm not kidding, and I'm an old soul, and I don't like, you know, faking it, but I would figure it out as it went along. But what I found, what got worse after doing for 20 years, because I knew everything that could go wrong, I got more insecure. Instead of more secure, the more I knew, the more I got insecure about it. So I'm almost like, is there ever a point where older souls ever feel secure at what they're doing? So what I'm trying to tell people is we all have an imposter syndrome in us where we don't think we're smart, or somebody's going to find out that we're not as good at something. I think we got to stop with that, okay, because it's a sabotager, you know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how long I've been doing any job. I'm always afraid somebody's going to say, she's not really good at her job. She doesn't really know what she's doing. I'm always waiting for that. It's so stupid,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
So you have the best cards. This is great. This is what you've been praying for, by the way. Prayers have been
uh-huh.
answered to you.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I look forward to hearing from you, you know, as you're insecure. I know you'll call in before September. I know you're going to have your little panic attacks. You'll call in and we'll bring out, we'll pull you back off the ledge. That's my job, to keep all my clients from jumping
down.
Off the ledge. Okay,
you'll calm me down.
I do it all day long. We'll be there. I mean, so we'll pull you off the ledge, and then I look forward to hearing you in October saying, it's all working out really good. I'm really feeling good. You know, the parents are liking me. One of the kids said, I love you. One of the kids says, you're really pretty. You have lipstick on. I think you're really pretty. It's wonderful, children. It's just wonderful. And sometimes when you're not so secure, children have a funny way of hugging you and making you feel better. And just, it's really nice to work with children. That's what I found. I loved when I worked with the children. So, you know,
okay.
good luck to you. And
thanks
for calling in tonight. Because I know
you've
been
emailing me. I'm glad
I got
those cards.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
I'm glad I got
like,
those cards. So they're nice cards.
Oh, beautiful cards. And you're just in such a beautiful light onto the world. And just know that your job is to teach the children and love them. And, you know, when you look at it that way and we take it outside of ourselves, you'd be surprised how easier work is. You know, mm-hmm. the wonderful part about my job is all day long, it's never about me. Nobody ever asks me how I am all day long, okay? But we give a shit about me all day, okay? But that's good because it's about them. And so try to think about the job being about them, not about you, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of takes it outside of ourselves a bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, even when I got my hair done the other day, they're all asking me 1,000 questions, everybody in the salon. And one of the young girls who was washing my hair said, Cindy, does anybody ever ask you how you are? I go, not really. Not really, but it's fine. I'm fine. It doesn't matter.
I ask you how you are every Thursday.
Uh-huh. You do, okay? But for the most part, it's like I just think everybody just assumes I'm okay, and maybe because they assume I'm okay, maybe that's why I am okay, you know? So
that's true.
It's just interesting how life is. But you know I love you, Anna, and I tell you that all the time, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, you know?
Okay.
And
Thank you so much. You made me feel a lot better. That
Nicole and I are the woman on your team, the sisterhood power, that should help. You know?
Okay.
Well, good night now.
Okay,
and
good night. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We're going to wind up our show, and it was nice to have some of my clients that I know and love so well tonight, because I kind of sort of needed that, you know.
I thought that it was great. Yeah.
And that I know these people so well over the years, and I love that they know we're here for them on Thursday night for when they're freaking out. That's what it's about. Because if people call,
no, I think
like, we've been getting
awesome
a lot of
it's,
people.
It's great.
And I'm always like, you know, that's what we're here for. Because I can't read you on a dime, but I can read you on Thursday night if you just call in.
Exactly.
Well, good night, everybody, and enjoy the
good
beautiful
night.
Weather.
And Cindy, I put that video on
you
your
did.
Wall. So for all of our listeners out there who want to see with their own eyes what I was talking about, it was actually a campaign that Dove Soap ran called Real Beauty Sketches. I put the link on my wall as well as Cindy's wall. And now you can go and look with your own eyes how people see themselves versus how, and I was wrong about one thing. It wasn't loved ones. It was strangers describing them.
Oh,
so
okay.
That makes it even more powerful. So,
right, because
a
stranger
because
might have an entirely different.
Literally the outside people. Exactly,
wow.
Exactly. So it's on our walls, guys. Please go check it out. Leave a comment if you'd like, or just hit that like button so that we know that you got the message. And Cindy,
and
since nobody asks you how you are, I'm going to tell you, you did a wonderful job tonight, as always, and thank you for all that you do for our listeners, because you are definitely a piece to their puzzle, and you do so much good, and, you know, you deserve some accolades for that. So thank you, Cindy.
And by the way, if you're asking me how I am, I'm terrific! Good night, everybody. Bye.
Good night.